Welcome to Talking Allergies, the podcast where we talk all things allergies about all types of allergies in all kinds of allergy lives.
From food allergies to environmental allergies, special guests, community stories, allergy and science giveaways, and more.
This is your allergy podcast for all things allergies.
Hi, Melrick.
Hi, Grace, and welcome to another episode of Talking Allergies. On this episode, we're going to be talking about carrying and managing allergy medications.
This includes all of your medications that you are carrying in day-to-day life. So this could be your antihistamines, your inhalers, your auto-injectors, creams, nasal sprays, the whole lot that you're carrying with you.
And we also have a special guest from Viatris Australia, an organisation that provides Australians with many medications, including medications for people that have allergies and anaphylaxis.
This includes medications that you may have heard of, such as the EpiPen, Dimister, and Beconase.
Well, Grace, let's get right into it. And let's start with a very important point. When you have allergies, carrying medication is important for all types of allergies you have. So no matter your allergies, always try and carry all your medications. We know you're doing the best you can. It can be challenging, especially when you have multiple allergies, but try your best to carry your medication with you at all times so you can be prepared. And if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're unsure what to do, or whether it's for yourself or someone else who's going through an allergic reaction, just call 000.
Very good point, Melrick. With these medications, many people carry them in different ways. So they could be in hard cases, in insulated pouches, in handbags, many different areas that people will carry them.
That's right, Grace. Many people carry medications in different ways and creatively as well, depending on and how your medications fit and sort of how they also work for you to access them when you need them. I know people that wear blazers, for example. Blazers have like a lot of pockets, so you've got like the bigger pockets, and sometimes you've got those little pockets that are hidden on the bottom. So, and if you've got, say, an auto injector, and you might have a antihistamines that you want to carry for you, or it could even be a nasal spray or so forth, you can fit the bigger ones in the big pocket, and then you can fit some of the other smaller medications in those little pockets to just make it work for you, especially if you're out and about and you're doing different things.
That actually reminds me, I used to carry all of my medication in high school in the blazer. So I used to have my blazer and have the auto injector on the inside with some antihistamines and other things, and then safe snacks on the outside of my blazer. It didn't matter what the weather was like, I always wore the blazer because I didn't have a handbag.
No, that's a really good point. Look, I mean, not everybody has blazers on them, of course, and sometimes you might be, you know, especially in summer, you don't carry a lot of things with you, but there's people that wear different types of clothing in different ways. So if you've got pants, and you might have pant pockets that you can put your medications in, but if you are able to wear a jumper or a jacket, you might find some more pockets in there. But of course, you know, people use pouches, they use those waste bags that you can get. You can even get those little first aid bags that you can just sort of carry on you. It's quite easy to do so. Some of them don't have any branding and sort of words in them, so they kind of look like a normal everyday bag. It's okay how you do it. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you find a way that works for you, and then look at making sure that you're also storing it correctly. I think storage with medication is one of those important things, no matter what types of medications you have with you. But especially when we talk about allergy medications, given this is an allergy podcast, we have to look at ways to store it and follow those instructions as well from the manufacturers. Some, for example, auto injectors and so forth need to be stored under a certain temperature. You've got to keep them away from light, direct sunlight as well, just ensuring that the medications are working when you need to use them too.
Yeah, but that also goes for if the seal is broken, if it looks discolored. All of the different types of medications do actually have safety limits and how you should care for them too.
Yeah, and a really good point about the seal, Grace. I mean, that sort of moves into checking if the medications are in the right condition. And you've got seals, and I think you talk about the discoloration. That's with the auto-injectors where they have a window for you to look at to sort of check the colors. Now, if you don't know what some of these things mean, call the manufacturers, ask them questions, speak to your qualified healthcare providers. You've got an allergist, you're going to your GP, have those conversations with them. There are also a lot of other support options out there, but find out those answers to understand what's the best way to store it, because when you need it, you want to make sure they're also in the best condition for you to use them.
And another thing, that they're not expired or in a condition that you cannot take them.
Yeah, expiry date's actually a really good one, Grace. You know, sometimes I found myself, I don't know if you have as well, spending time sort of trying to go, where is the expiry date? Different medication sort of has it and have it in different places. But they always are there somewhere. And if you're unsure about where they are, again, call the manufacturer just to ask them where it could be. But knowing where that expiry date is, and especially if it's a medication that you know you might need to renew or get a new version of every year, because it does have an expiry period, put a reminder somewhere. You can do it in a book. If you have a calendar book or a diary, you can put it in your diary. Or you can go and put in your a calendar on your email.
Yeah, or they've also got different clubs. The manufacturers might also have elements that will have a reminder system as well, depending on how you do it. Each way is different for each person.
Exactly. Look, I use calendar reminders a lot, but I also sometimes, put little sticky notes around the place just to write down, hey, on the fridge, you just put a little sticky note, get new medication after this point. Like, whatever works for you to remind yourself, but all medication will have it stipulated somewhere that there is an expiry.
And if you have multiple medications in your medication bags or that you need to have, you could also have a medication list that can keep track to see that you've actually got these medications on hand as well, to see what ones you have and what they can be used for.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, not just for yourself. If you're looking after someone or just your family has allergies, and you could have different people in your families that have allergies, having that list on hand as well makes you sort of know what medications are for who. And it could be handy as well if someone else is looking out for you, or I know you've got a party, you've got a lot of people around, you'd be like, oh, can you get that medication for that person? And then you've got a list, you can just sort of go, this is the name of it. Because I know people have to also read the names and get them right, because some medications do have some tricky names to read. So as long as it helps you, whichever ways those cues help people find those medications, the better.
I agree with you, Melrick, that it does help with that. Also, getting an organization box as well could help.
If you've got backups, with allergies, sometimes you might just want to get a few extras, a few spares in case you use them or just in case you misplace them. And for whatever reason, you have those spares on hand instead of just putting them in different places. And especially if there's different allergies that you have medications for, finding a way for you to store it. And then, of course, same as before, making sure it's the right temperature and away from sunlight, all those sort of things. Finding a way for you to store it safely and also accessibly. So if you need it and you run out or you misplace it, you're like, oh, I can just jump in there and grab that medication for me. Or the person looking after.
Exactly. But also your reaction might need different things like wipes or an inhaler or a nasal spray that you might be using at the same time. That could be in the box too.
Yeah, that's a really good one, actually, Grace. Wipes. I mean, these might not be medications, but they might be things that are related to your everyday management of your allergies. So if there are things that are not necessarily medical, but they are things that you use, and it could be like, say, a face mask. You might use a face mask for whatever reasons. You might use wipes, as you mentioned. You might use gloves. You might need to use gloves for certain reasons. Like, for example, got a latex allergy, you might use, might have some gloves that are non-latex. So you might want to store them along with your allergy medication. So you go, this is where all my allergy stuff is. Whatever is easy and works for you. Make sure it's stored. Then maybe also tell a few people. So if you've got people you live with or people that come over quite a lot, be like, hey, this is where my spare medication is located. And I know everybody's got like a little space in their house. It's where they keep their medications, or it might be a cabinet or a shelf, wherever it is, just make sure you can get to it when you need it.
Or multiple locations, say by the front door or in the kitchen or in the bathroom. I know that some people will have emergency medication in different areas and then their usual big stash in one location.
Yeah. And then, if we quickly then talk about some of the situations where people find themselves with allergy, sometimes, say if you work, you go in a workplace and you go there quite frequently. And I know there was a time where there was more hybrid working situations, but not every workplace was like that. So if you do go to your workplace quite a lot, If you can and there is a safe spot, hopefully you could lock it as well, see if you can store your medication there. If you do have a first aid officer at the workplace too, there is a medical cabinet, maybe that you could even store it with them or in the cabinet. Just speak to your workplaces and see if there's a place you can store some backup medication.
Great point, Melrick, about the workplaces. And if you have a kid, talk to the schools about the medications that your kid needs when going to the schools, childcares, kindies, making sure that everyone is aware of the allergies, reactions, and medications.
Definitely talk about it, and with schools, school nurses are there to support you. If your school has a school nurse, yes, speak to them just to understand how to help them manage, because, of course, carrying medications, being younger, cannot have its own challenges too. So we want to try and support anyone that has allergies in any way we can. Another thing, Grace, and this is probably for people that have used those medications or they have expired, is dispose of medications in a safe manner. There are different ways to do it, and there's many organizations that also help with safe disposal. Just look it up online. There's many ways to do it. Even speak to your qualified healthcare provider, your GP, or your allergist about how it's done. I know some pharmacies take some medications too. So just see how you can safely dispose of that medication.
With an auto injector, if you have used it and it is an emergency situation, always hand it to the emergency responders. So that would be when you've got the ambulance going, or if you're in emergency, make sure that you actually hand it to them.
Really important to do so. Now, of course, if we have used medication or they have expired, we also should replace it. So if you've got those reminders for the expiries, replace your old medication so you're always topped up as best you can.
And this goes for all medications, not just allergy medications, but all medications that you are taking.
Many people have other health conditions they need to look after. So if you've got all your medications in one place, also making sure you get those expiry dates and they're stored correctly, keeping ourselves safer and prepared for any situations.
So Melrick, we've talked about carrying medications. Now this means in different outfits, in different locations. Is there any creative ways that you've carried your medications?
Well, Grace, I've tried many different ways of creatively carrying medications where I found myself in a situation where I don't normally have a way to store it. I recently tried out mountain biking, and I found myself being in a outdoors, out in the bush, riding mountains as you do, and I had to carry my antihistamines and my nasal spray with me. Because there's a lot of pollen in the air. I had to find ways to put my medication on me. So what I did was I found a little pouch, an insulated pouch, with a bit of padding on it. And I put the pouch in a couple of really, really soft cotton socks. So it was extra padded. And then I put that sock into my skins, because I was wearing skins to ride. So I put it in my skins and I was able to hold it in there. Because it was a little zipper pocket in there, so I was able to put in my zipper pocket in my skins, and it held together pretty well. It was away from any sort of, if I was to fall and so forth, it was protected. I put it in there, and it was a good decision because it rained as well. So if I had it been open, water could have gotten in, and especially my nasal spray and so forth. So got it protected, and it was all good. That was my creative way of carrying my medication. What about you, Grace? Have you had any creative ways recently where you've carried your medication?
So my story is a little bit of an adventure story as well, going off your adventure story. So when kayaking, I make sure that I actually carry a dry bag to put all my medications in with an insulation. So when you're out in the sun, you need to make sure that the medication is obviously not in direct sunlight, so that it's put in the bag, it's all safe. But also, if you tip out of the kayak, like if you fall out, it actually floats so that it's not lost, which is actually really important when you're kayaking. So anyway, that's what I do. I carry a dry bag that floats.
Did you have it tied with a rope or something so it didn't float away if you dropped it?
That's a fair point. I hadn't thought of that.
Look, with allergies, we're always learning, right? And always sharing tips and That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear you found a really good way to carry it, because kayaking, yeah, a lot of water can get in there. Quite a open scene when it comes to carrying medication.
Exactly.
Now, Grace, on this episode, we have a special guest who's from an organization that supports people with allergies in Australia, providing medications for allergies and anaphylaxis.
Yes, I had a lovely chat with Robin, who's the head of marketing for Beatrice Australia. We spoke about the medications they provide for people with allergies, like the EpiPen. We spoke about the support they have and how they help the allergy community.
Well, Grace, I look forward to hearing all about it. Let's tune in.
Hi, Robin, and thank you for joining me on Talking Allergies.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
To start off with, Robin, could you talk a little bit about your organisation and what they do for people with allergies?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm fortunate to work for an organisation called Beatrice. It's an organisation that was born in 2020, and it was born out of the amalgamation of a number of other organisations, including companies like Alpha Farm, Mylan, and Upjohn, which was a division of Pfizer. It's been in its current format since 2020 and has over 1,000 different medications available to Australians currently, a mixture of generic medications, innovative medications, and over-the-counter medications, of which we have a high representation in the allergy and anaphylaxis space.
What's your role at the organisation, Robin?
So I'm fortunate enough to be head of marketing. So a very interesting role and a very diverse role, covering those areas that I mentioned before, with a big team behind me.
What does your organisation provide for people with allergies?
So for allergies, we have a wide range of medications, both prescription, over-the-counter, medications including nasal sprays, oral antihistamines, creams, auto-injectors. And with those medications, where possible, we have patient support programs to support patients on those treatments.
It's fantastic to hear that you're doing the work in the space and also providing some support as well. How long have you been providing this for people with allergies?
So whilst Beatrice's was formed in 2020, the organisations that it was an amalgamation of have had representation in Australia since 1982. When you sort of look across our portfolio of medications, probably the medication that people are most familiar with is EpiPen, which has been available in Australia now for 25 years and obviously played a critical role in the management of anaphylaxis here. And you know, long may it continue and access and be accessible to patients who need it in here.
How has your organisation seen an impact of allergies over the time?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I was, as you do for these things, you know, doing a little bit of additional research this morning. And one of the things we look at habitually at Beatrice is sort of monitor what online searches there are for areas or therapeutic areas of interest to us. And I was looking this morning, and for the month of October, there was over 22,000 searches on anaphylaxis in Australia alone, which shows that there continues to be a huge unmet need in the community. There's an appetite for quality education and health literacy around that. And that's something that is growing. You know, it's anticipated around 1 in 5 Australians will have some sort of allergy or anaphylactic condition, which is the highest in the world, is my understanding. So it shows that it's a growing problem. And with those online searches, shows that there's a growing need to give accessible, understandable, digestible information, education to those that need it most.
Has your organisation done anything to adapt to this over time?
Yeah, there's a number of ways. And again, the key to anything that we do has to be in response to an identified or validated need, or something that's been identified by the healthcare community. Things that immediately come to mind in terms of, you know, recent advancements or progression that we've had is around access. So making sure that the medications are accessible to the patients at the right time, in the right way. And a classic example of that is the recent down scheduling of Dimister Allergy, which is an intranasal spray, steroid and antihistamine, which is now available over the counter. It's cheaper. You know, you don't need to go to the doctor to get a script. And that's a very effective way for medications to become more accessible to the broader community.
More access is so important. Was there anything that you or the organisation has learned from experiences
supporting people with allergies?
I mean, first and foremost, the tremendous burden it has on people and their families. I mean, it's heartbreaking. The alarming regularity you see of some of these tragic events that you see happening in the community. So it's something that I think is growing in consciousness, but also the seriousness of it as well. And particularly for my generation to be educated, you know, as a parent, when I have my son's friends and they're carrying an EpiPen with them. And yeah, I'll be honest, you know, I didn't know, I wasn't aware of how to use it until I was exposed to, you know, to this area. And so, you know, my awakening is how prevalent it is and the need to be educated and to know, not only for your own family, but for people that you're around who are also reliant on medications to respond to any severe allergic reaction. So as an organization, we recognize the privilege, and also, you know, it's incumbent on us to make sure that we are adapting to the needs of the community and the increasing demand, and partnering with organisations like your own to make sure, again, that the information education is available to people at the right time.
Is there anything with people with allergies that can expect from Beatrice in the future?
Just our continued commitment to make sure that people in the community are well educated, as I say, in a digestible and understandable manner. Again, the healthcare industry is notorious for using words that don't necessarily translate well down to the community level. So making sure that is there. I mean, the other thing I think is, you know, when you look at the broader healthcare community, there is advancements on the horizon, not just with Beatrice, but with other organisations, which I think will have a profound impact on the management of anaphylaxis in Australia. So I think we should take a lot of heart from that, and there should be some excitement and hope that comes with it as well.
Is there anything else that you would like to say to the allergy community?
I think obviously patients get the medication, but a lot of the time the medication is just the beginning. One of the things that we're particularly proud of at Beatrice is our patient support programs, and my EpiPen is a great example of that. I guess one of the things I put on people's radars is the existence of that patient support program. There's a lot of valuable tools, materials and resources that can support patients and their families in the management of anaphylaxis. And it would be something I'd strongly encourage them to be a part of, to create that support network and have access to that quality education when needed. So that would be something I'd probably like to put out there.
Where can they find that information, Robin?
Just in search, if you put my EpiPen in the search function, it will take you through to the website, and you know, you can get dummy devices there that you've got access to practice the administration of EpiPen, which is obviously critical, because we know that what you do in a calm, considered manner versus what you do in a high stress, anxious situation is very, very different. So to have access to that and to be able to practice that, I think, is particularly critical. So I would strongly recommend patients where it's relevant to be a part of that program.
That's fantastic to hear. Definitely a great resource.
Absolutely.
Where can we learn more about Beatrice?
Look, again, Beatrice is very active in the social media platforms. I'm not personally, but I know Beatrice is. We've got our own website, which is www.beatrice.com. And as I read the Instagram, because Instagram's not something that I'm on either, at Beatrice Inc. as well as on LinkedIn. But, you know, that's probably the best way to see the sort of work that we're doing.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Robin, for coming to join us on Talking Allergies today, and for your time in talking a little bit about Beatrice as well.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me, Grace.
Thank you, Robin, for that insightful interview and just for sharing so much about how Beatrice supports the allergy community, especially with allergies and anaphylaxis.
Robin was so lovely and wonderful to speak to, and I really appreciated hearing about the work that they're doing for the allergy community.
To learn more about Beatrice and to learn about the treatments they provide, including the EpiPen, visit www.beatrice.com.au. And if you'd like to learn more about the EpiPen Club, if you use the EpiPen or someone you care for does, you can visit myepipen.com.au.
They're great resources. Managing allergies is really quite difficult with many elements that we've got going on as well. Managing medications is one of them that we try to do our best.
Definitely, and it's so amazing to have all these great organizations and great stories that we continue to hear from the community. And you know, We'll continue to do so and continue to keep on talking allergies.
Talking allergies? What are we talking on in the next episode, Melrick?
All I'm going to say is tune in.
Tune in.
On Talking Allergies. The discussions on Talking Allergies are here to support you or your loved one on your journey with allergies. The topics discussed here are not intended as medical instruction or as a substitute for advice by a qualified healthcare provider.